This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
So what I'd like to do this morning is to invite us to think, ponder, reflect a little bit more deeply about the life of the Trinity and how playfulness, how play can be a good way for us to understand the life, the communion of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then how we can live that out in a way that will enrich our lives and will help us to have playful experiences of our lives. And so I just invite you to reflect for just a moment. What was your favorite game to play as a child? Think perhaps when you were really, really young, perhaps, you know, 5, 6, or even when you were 10, 11, 12, what was your favorite game? Or perhaps what were some of your favorite games? And just try to imagine, what was it that you really enjoyed about that game? Perhaps the opportunity for you to spend time with siblings or friends. What was it that you found delightful in that experience? Perhaps try to imagine or remember the places where you played that game. Perhaps it was back at home or in the street in your neighborhood with your friends. Just try to use your memory for just a moment to remember what that felt like playing that game. When I asked some folks about their favorite experiences, this is what some of them said. Matt, good friend, said he loved playing Risk as a young man. Kate loved playing Pictionary. Renee, Double Dutch. Brad, baseball. Nicole, that was her favorite game. And Lucy, who is 10 right now, loves playing soccer. And when I think about games, play, it is a wonderful way for us to start to think about the Trinity. When we think about God, many of us like to think of God as love. But sometimes we find the image of the Trinity a little bit complicated. It's very complex, divine math. How do we make sense of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And many of the fathers and mothers of the church helped us to understand that to say that God is love is the same thing to say that God is Trinity. It's just different language. For to say that God is love is to say that God is a communion, a community of three persons. So we have God, one God, two processions, the Son who is begotten of the Father, and then the Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son. So you are already starting to see this playful experience of the Trinity. One God, the Son who is begotten, comes from the Father. He's begotten in love. And then the Spirit that proceeds from that relationship between the Father and the Son. And then we have three persons. A way to understand that at the heart of who God is, we have a community of love. And then we recognize that each person in the Trinity helps us to understand a little bit more deeply and more playfully what love is all about. The Father, who is the lover, who gives fully of his love, begets the Son. And in that relationship, then the Son is the beloved. And we then are daughters and sons who are adopted in that varied relationship. And then in the Trinity, the love that the lover and the beloved share, that is the Spirit. So we have Father, Son, and then that love shared by the Father and the Son, that very connection, that sigh of love as the Father and the Son look at one another, that is the Spirit of love. And so we can start to see that even at the heart of the Trinity, we have a connection. And for many of us, as we think about love, we can start to understand where playfulness comes in this relationship of love. When we have been in love, whether it is a spouse or a friend that we love deeply, our children, our parents, our grandparents, the way we look at one another with playfulness, that playfulness between spouses, boyfriend and girlfriend, between parents and children. That is very much part at the heart of the love that the Trinity share and they want for us to share and to experience. And so the element, I believe, that best portrays their relationality, that communion, the connection between the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is play. And so every single time in our liturgy and in our lives, when we are mindful that we believe in one God who is three persons, and we sign ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are willing to come in the world into a type of experience that is playful, where we can experience the love of the Father and the Son, that is the Spirit. And why is play so important in this way of understanding the Trinity? Well, first, let's look at what play is, right? So play, playfulness, it's simply to engage in an activity just for the fun of it. There is no other purpose. Sometimes we learn to play games and they have a purpose when we join divisions for different games, basketball, football, baseball. But for most games, for play, there's really no purpose. So we're just having fun for the sake of it. And so at the heart of play, we're coming to understand that it is all about relationship and the light, coming before God, being with one another, just for the sake of it. No agenda, nothing else that needs to be done, but simply coming and being before having to worry about doing or engaging in something else for the sake of a specific purpose. I've always loved this quote from Proverbs. I was playing before God all the while, and God found delight in me. It is this sense that as we engage in playfulness, we are before God, and God finds delight in us just for the sake of it. Another way of thinking of it, I'm thinking of Anthony de Mello, a Jesuit from India, who used to invite people to pray in this way. Behold God, beholding you, and smiling. In another way, look at God in your prayer, in your contemplation, in your life. Imagine God looking at you and not frowning and not saying you should do better or you should do things in a different way, but simply delighting in you, beholding you and smiling. And what happens in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, when we can see ourselves before God and God is delighting in us, God is smiling. Well, play is a way for every single one of us to come to enjoy some of that delight that sometimes is missing from our lives. Scientists who have explored the dimensions of the importance of play in our lives talk to us about play deprivation. When we lack those aspects of playfulness in our lives, that sometimes lead to more stress or sometimes lack of being able to manage what's happening around us in life. Sometimes it has to do in the way in which our relationships are lacking play or are lacking curiosity. And so the invitation for every single one of us, especially adults, is to find opportunities for us to be playful. Children and sometimes teenagers, they find this very easily. But with time, we become much more self-conscious because instead of just delighting and being curious and being out in the world in a playful way, we become very self-conscious. And when that happens, those elements of playfulness are lost. And so the invitation for all of us, especially adults, we take ourselves too seriously. We forget to laugh at ourselves. and humor and laughter are important parts of playfulness. It is find new opportunities, new ways to experience playfulness in a way that brings more joy and brings us into a deeper experience of God and one another. So for a moment, try to imagine what your life would be like without any play, without any laughter, without any humor, without between spouses, flirtatious play, without, you know, as parents playing with your children, or for children not to have any playfulness or any games, no activities like sports, no play whatsoever. It would be a life that would be quite dull. And on the other hand, when we have playfulness, when there are activities that are playful and fun, it brings not just joy and a zest for living, but then we are reminded of our true identity as children of God. And as children of God, we're invited to play before God and to play with one another and to have an attitude of playfulness. So I would like to take some time to explore the relationship between this playful Trinity, how every single one of the persons of the Trinity is inviting us to an aspect, whether it's playfulness, curiosity, and delight. And then also how each one of these, they inform a part, or we can call them a facet of our souls. And I'll explain that in just a moment. So I'll begin with playfulness. Playfulness is that attitude or that type of being when we are excited to simply explore the world in a new way. Playfulness is that attitude of looking at things and allowing for the joy of life to come before us and to be with it. And what the mystics, the contemplatives, and even scientists who study playfulness have found is that playfulness informs an aspect of our soul that is the will. So if we were to look back at medieval theology or even mystic theology, we know that our souls have three main elements: the intellect, the will, and the memory. And playfulness not only strengthens but heals our sense of will, for it allows us to be mindful of our own identity and how we are part of the world in relationship with others, to be well-integrated human beings, self-differentiated human beings, but also how that person, that identity, is in relationship with others and is able to let go in joy. And so finding opportunities of playfulness help us to be able to strengthen, to heal our will, not just so that we can do everything we want. It's not about ego, but about how our will comes into relationship with the will of God, and we can discern in playful ways what God desires for us. I think sometimes the struggle for many of us is recognizing or thinking that, you know, being a Christian or being a religious person or a spirituality is a very serious business, and we forget the importance of laughter and playfulness. And so what playfulness helps us to see is that in so many different ways, that attitude of just being light before God and before others and finding the joy of things actually helps us to be more at ease before God, but also to strengthen our identity as children of God. Curiosity, which is more in terms of our understanding and our relationship with the Spirit, is that place where we are looking at the world with new eyes. And there are so many wonderful images, both in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, when God is giving us a new heart, a new mind, new eyes. It's always an invitation to see the world in a new way, looking for new perspectives. And so here what we have is an invitation for us to be curious, where playfulness is calling us to look at others and to engage in a connection that is a little bit different and to find the joy in those connections. Curiosity is asking us to explore things in a new way, to look at new perspectives. What that could mean for many of us is, how are we listening to one another, right? Curiosity in the sense of, when I am having a conversation with others, not to assume that I have all the answers, but simply thinking of things in a new way. I wonder what this person feels as we're having this conversation. I ponder what could we do different as we are engaging in this conversation. Curiosity also in terms of our relationship with God in prayer. Being curious and having a sense of, perhaps we are struggling with our prayer life and we have tried a number of things and they feel dry. And sometimes we are looking for a new way of coming before the Lord in prayer. And curiosity could just simply be finding new ways to explore something new. So for example, I love when it comes to the daily office, mostly morning prayer. And sometimes morning prayer feels rich, and sometimes morning prayer feels a little bit dry. Curiosity could be helpful instead of feeling like I have to do the entire office that morning. If I am reading the scriptures, maybe I come to one of the Psalms or I come to one of the canticles, and something feels a little bit different. There's joy in one of the verses. Curiosity could simply be allowing the Spirit to show me something new by staying with the Psalm. Instead of feeling like I have to do the entire thing to fulfill my duty, how can I find what the Spirit is trying to show me and give me that morning by simply staying with that Psalm or with that canticle or with that verse from Scripture and being curious? I wonder, what is this verse telling me this morning? What is the Spirit showing me with this verse, with this canticle? Why is it that all of a sudden I feel something in my heart? I feel a sense of peace. I wonder, why am I feeling a sense of deep compassion, better understanding? I feel seen by God. Or I have a sense where I want to come before the Lord in a new way. Another way in which curiosity could be helpful for all of us is by, whether at work or in our relationships with other people, finding opportunities to be curious about not only what others can do for us. Sometimes that is a way, looking for how, what others can do for us, but how can we be of service to others? How can we engage in relationship in a way that we are serving and loving others more deeply? And so curiosity could be that way in which we are finding, I'm wondering, I'm curious, how can I get to know this person more deeply? How can I be part of this team in a way that is creative and is actually helping this team to fulfill its purpose? I wonder, how can I be bringing more of my gifts or different gifts to this relationship with my coworkers or relationship with friends, with family, in ways that are always helping us to go ever more deeply? And I think that the last thing I'll say about curiosity is that sometimes when we have been in relationships with coworkers, with families, with spouses, after a while, we come to a place of routine and habits are good and they're important. But we feel like we can't get out of that rut because things are just one specific way. And curiosity, paying attention to what the Spirit is inviting us to do, where the Spirit is working, laboring in the lives of others, simply paying attention to what's new here. What's a new invitation for today? Where is God present and how can I participate, collaborate with the work that God is doing in new and creative ways? And curiosity strengthens the intellect. It strengthens the intellect because it helps us to see that when it comes to the intellect, it's about how we are grasping the world, how we are understanding the world, how we're making sense of it, and we make judgments. This doesn't mean that we're doing something negative, but we make judgments about the world, positive. Sometimes they're a little bit negative. But how we understand the world, curiosity helps us to see things anew, new perspectives. And when we have new perspectives, we are coming to see how God is working in different ways. Again, those images from the Old Testament of having a new heart or a new mind, seeing with new eyes, perspectives in which curiosity is inviting us to new ways of being. Delight. Delight is very much at the heart of the relationship of the Son with the Father. And our invitation as children of God, adopted children of God, to come before the Lord and to know that God delights in us. I think that for many of us, it is hard to understand or even to believe that God loves us passionately, unconditionally, and that God delights in us. And so what playfulness does, a sense of play, helps us to see that God loves us so very deeply. And there's nothing we have to do, nothing we can do for God to love us more or for God to love us less. And that we can simply come before the Lord and to delight in God as God delights in us. Ways in which we can delight, it's simply to be with the people that we love and to be with them. And just as that verse from Proverbs, there's nothing we have to do. We simply spend time with them. We be. It's bad grammar, but it's a great way of being. We are simply be with God. We come to that place where we can just spend time with another person, with a loved one, and enjoy their company. It is sometimes, you know, part of the way in which old couples testify to love. They can simply be with one another. They don't have to talk. They don't have to do anything. They can simply sit with one another. It is the gift of contemplation, right? It is that gift that is given to us at the end of Lexia Divina, when we are able to see, after moving through, you know, the playfulness of the scripture, curiosity of prayer, we come to that last movement, that fourth movement in Lexio, where we can just simply be with God in prayer. It is a gift of centering prayer when we can sit in silence, perhaps with the mantra, just breathe, know that we are loved, and enjoy to be bathed by the healing, restorative love of God. And so the Son is always inviting us to delight. The proclamation that Jesus did was to go out into the world to restore all things through justice, through healing, through the proclamation of the kingdom of God, inviting us all into relationship with the Father who delights in us. And what delight does is it heals and it restores our memories. Because sometimes our memories get a little bit skewed and we forget who we are. We forget that we are children of God. And it is difficult for us to see ourselves as we truly are. And we start acting in other ways. And so what delight allows us to do is being with one another in ways that are healing and loving. We can see ourselves as we are. And being before God, we can let God transform us and love us. For just as God loves us as we are, the love of God is always healing and restorative. And that means that as we come before God and as we delight in the presence of God, His love is purifying and transforming us. And that is the invitation. That second part of delight is that being before the light of God, that purifying, transforming love of God that the mystics spoke about, like Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, we can come to be transformed, being held in the arms of the Father, being surrounded by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, delighting and being transformed, being brought into deeper fullness. So what I want to invite us to do as we begin to wrap up is I want to help us to think of how can these elements of playfulness, curiosity, and delight help us to find ways in which we can begin to find new habits for prayer, for relationship, for spirituality. And so I'm going to invite us to ponder about those in three different ways, and then we'll wrap up and have time to perhaps for some questions before we end. So the first place is perhaps think of a place in your life where you can find or you can use more playfulness. Perhaps right now it is you're in a new job or you just started a new relationship. And you're getting into those situations where in order for you to be taken seriously, you feel like you have to overwork or you have to not quite be yourself. Or it could be in a relationship you've been for a very long time with a spouse, with a friend, with a sibling, with somebody else. And you feel like you can't quite come out of that routine. And perhaps take some time this week to wonder, to ponder, how is God inviting you to be playful in this aspect of your life with your coworkers at work? Why do you feel that you have to be serious? Why are you worried that you won't be taken seriously? Where in that relationship are you in a rut and you feel like you can't get out of that routine? And how can you be playful? Perhaps for parents, sometimes it is you're so busy. We're coming to this new normal after the pandemic, and now you have to start going back to work. It is the summer, and you're getting to see your children a little bit less, and you come home and you're tired. You might be a little bit stressed. And that playfulness that you had perhaps before, it's a little bit lost. How can you spend more time with them in a way that is playful? You're looking for the joy of that relationship. The second opportunity for us to explore over the next few days is with curiosity. And this one is an invitation for prayer. So as I was saying before, every single one of us has had different experiences of what prayer is like. Sometimes how it is helpful, sometimes how it's dry. And so for you to ponder, what have been my experiences with prayer? Perhaps the best type of prayer for me has always been communal prayer. I love attending the services, whether it is sometimes morning prayer, evening prayer, compline. I love listening to that new podcast with morning prayer, chanted morning prayer. Or I love coming to the Eucharist now that we have an opportunity to start coming back in person to St. David's. And communal prayer feels like the one thing that has always nourished me. But there's something that is missing in that communal prayer. And so curiosity is inviting us, the Spirit is inviting us to pay attention to what in that type of experience of prayer is nourishing. What do I want to explore? An invitation could be I bring a pencil with me and I mark the bulletin in the readings in places where there's something here that I'd like to explore when I get at home. I'm back at home and I can go back to that bulletin and these words, this verse, something that was read out loud spoke to me in a new way. Can I go ever more deeply there? Perhaps it's something the preacher said or a moment when he came to the Eucharistic prayer, a word that before hadn't really spoken to you, but now is speaking to you in a new way. Mark it down, go back to it. The Lord be with you. Wow, that really spoke to me today in a new way. What is this? Where is God trying to speak new life to me to this? Perhaps the type of prayer that is very common for you is more of saying out loud prayers that are familiar to you. I love when I'm driving, sometimes speaking out the Our Father as a prayer that is familiar to me and it helps me to get into the mood of, okay, I'm leaving my house, I'm heading to work, I'm heading elsewhere. I want to be reminded that I'm always with God. But, you know, I've lost the habit of doing that. Is there a new prayer? Is there a new way of just being mindful of how God is inviting me into relationship in those moments? Or maybe I want to explore how music, praise and worship, or choral music can be a new way of praying. You're sitting before God in prayer, listening to music, allowing the music to move my heart and to transform me. Or last but not least, one of those experiences of prayer that has always been very helpful is contemplative prayer. Again, as I said before, centering prayer or Lectio Divina, or you even have prayer types like Franciscan ways of praying or Ignatian contemplation that moves you from using your imagination and your application of the memory to be with the gospel to then move to contemplation. But those old habits or patterns of prayer are no longer really feeding you. And maybe to explore in curiosity, where is God inviting you? How before you maybe needed more discursive prayer, where you needed to say a lot of things in your prayer, but now God is moving you to a deeper place. So curiosity in spirituality, where is God moving you to new depths in your relationship with the Spirit? And then last but not least, the light. And the invitation of the light is an opportunity for you in daily life to be with God in new ways. Perhaps, and this is exactly what the Buddhist tradition gives us, the light is simply an opportunity to be mindful, intentional. And what are the practices that you can have in daily life to be more mindful? Maybe one of those opportunities is you love walking. And one of the things that you do while you walk is you listen to podcasts. I do it all the time, or just audiobooks. It's a great way to be out in nature, be out in your neighborhood, visit with your neighbors while you're listening to a podcast. Maybe once a week, the invitation of the light is simply to unplug and to walk without any noise, without any music, without any podcasts. And to be mindful of the way you're walking, to be mindful of everything around you, the flowers, the songs of the birds, your neighbors, the weather. It is cool, it is hot, and just be mindful and pay attention how that moves your heart and your mind, how intentionality and mindfulness helps you to do that. Or maybe something else that you can do to help you to be mindful is mindfulness while you're drinking your first cup of coffee or tea in the morning. That moment when you're making your tea or your coffee, you're brewing that coffee, the sound of the machine or whatever method you use for making that coffee, the smell of the coffee as it's being brewed, taking the touch of the cup when it's cold, and then the touch of the cup as you're pouring the coffee from cold to warmth. That first smell and sip of coffee, just being mindful. Or one last opportunity for you to be mindful. We who like to multitask and do many different things all at once, maybe mindfulness is simply to do one thing at a time. Or as we're moving from one task to another, to take a few seconds, maybe only 30 seconds, as we move from one activity to the next, to be mindful. Okay, I just checked my emails. I'm gonna take 30 seconds to be mindful, to give thanks for this moment, and then move on to the next thing. Maybe I'm going to a meeting. Maybe I am about to make a phone call. Maybe I have to go out to HEB, or I need to go grab a coffee at Starbucks. Just 30 seconds of mindfulness to connect us, to delight in the presence of God, and to know that God is delighting in us. So friends, before we wrap up, I would like us to close with a moment of prayer. So where you are, you don't have to do anything, but close your eyes. And just for a moment, be mindful of your bodies. Be mindful of the place where you're sitting or where you're standing, your feet on the ground, the temperature of the room where you are. Mindful of any sounds or noises around you. The sound of my voice and my accent. Maybe the sound of the air conditioning going on or off. And now for just a moment, I want you to imagine the Trinity. Whatever the Trinity looks like for you. Imagine the Trinity is in the room with you. And it can look like anything you want it to. Whatever helps you to contemplate the Trinity. Imagine what each person looks like. Imagine how they behold you, how they look at you, how they smile as they look at you. And pay attention to what happens in your minds and in your hearts as you behold the Trinity. And before we wrap up this moment with the Trinity, imagine how you're standing next to them, and then you're standing right in between them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all around you, and you're partaking in a holy hug with the playful Trinity. How the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are wrapping you up in love. How the playful Father holds you, how the curious Spirit is exploring this moment with you, and how the Son delights in your presence. And just for a moment, stay wrapped up in the Spirit, the Father and the Son. Be with them. And just pay attention to what happens in your mind and your heart. As you behold, as you imagine this moment of being held by the Trinity. Holy God, three persons, one holy, playful God. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to explore how playfulness, curiosity, and delight can help us to find new ways to be mindful, to be intentional, and to be joyous. We thank you, Lord, for in so many different ways, you're inviting us to new ways that will strengthen and heal our will, our intellect, and our memory. We thank you for the ways in which you're inviting us to play, to enjoy those activities and those games that bring joy into our lives, to be curious and to explore new ways to be in relationship with the Spirit and with one another, and to delight in one another and in you. For you are our lover. You are the beloved who proclaims the good news of the kingdom. And you are the love that is shared between those who seek their refuge in you. In your most holy, powerful, and beautiful name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So friends, what I would like to do for the next little bit, I know I've thrown a number of things at you. See if we have Any questions? And I will do, I will stop my sharing and we can have some time for conversation and see what might be helpful for the next 10, maybe 12 minutes or so.
Thank you, Santi, for that. Santi and the Hodge family and I were walking down the hall after the 8 o'clock Eucharist this morning. And I turned around and said to Santi, I says, I never thought of the Trinity and play in the same category. I wasn't quite understanding. So I think I came because I was curious, which is, as you just mentioned, a good thing to be have curiosity. And then I thought at the beginning when you asked us what's the game we played as a child, and first thing I came up with was hide and seek. Loved doing that game. It was challenging when you had those 10 seconds for people to start hiding and then the challenge of finding them. Somehow, in a stretching kind of way, I look at the Trinity as a game of hide and seek. Because I think the Trinity has always been, for me, one of the hardest theological beliefs in our church theology. But I think, as you put it this morning, you've kind of taken at some level anyway, the difficulty of that theological idea and concept and turned it around and made it one that is based on curiosity, playfulness. While they are hiding, we're always trying to seek them. So it gives me a new appreciation for the Trinity. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I know, that's really helpful. One of the things that I've always loved about Ignatian spirituality is that beautiful principle of we can find God in all things, right? Which means that God can be found in all places, in all situations, in all people, in all relationships. So it's not this idea that God is some abstract reality that can only be understood in certain ways, but that God is already working, laboring, loving places and people before we even get there. And that is really helpful to me because, you know, we all have difficult things in our lives. And even to know that God is somehow working in those situations in some way, and to have, one, the humility, and two, the curiosity to see how is it that God is already in that experience, and to try to find new ways to participate in what God is doing, and to trust that God is doing something beautiful, even though sometimes it can be really difficult, to me it's one of the most beautiful things that can be found from that perspective of the hide and seek. The guide is to be found and to be enjoyed everywhere. Thank you, Roger.
Santi, this is Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
I want to thank you so very much for your beautiful sermon this morning. It was just absolutely lovely. And I was late logging on here because I got deterred with other things, but I'm also came in when you were talking about mindfulness. I want to just let everybody know about the book, The Miracle of Mindfulness. And it's written by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Zen Buddhist priest. And it is absolutely wonderful. It's very simple. There are guided things to do. And it is just a joy to read.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm writing it down.
Hey, Santi, this is Carmen.
Hey, Carmen.
Hey, I love this topic. It was a new way for me to think about playfulness and curiosity. And as I come from things from more of a brain perspective, sometimes I was thinking that, you know, the ability to be playful is a lot like the ability to be creative. And we know from a brain perspective that in order to be creative, we have to lower our levels of stress, because when we're stressed, we tend to narrow our focus and we have difficulty to be creative, which then led me to the idea that if God is wanting to delight in our playfulness and our curiosity, God doesn't want us to be stressed. You know, that stress must sort of, you know, sadden him in a way. And I think of the times when I was a child, when my mother would come home stressed from work and I would want her to be playful and she was stressed, that saddened me. You know, I wanted someone to play with and she was stressed. And so, you know, just to think about that we really, we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to others to try to lower our stress levels so that we can be more playful, we can be more creative for ourselves and for our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really beautiful. It reminds me, Barbara brought up taking a hand, but something that he constantly talks about is, you know, our worries and our anxiety are things that we're holding on so tightly. You know, our stress is because we have expectations of what things should be like and that we can't let go of them. And our anxiety is because we are so anxious about the future and we're so concerned that things are not going to turn out the way we want them. And the best way to let go of the stress and the anxiety is to simply let go and be. And that's how both the light and mindfulness can help us to just no agenda, no expectations. And I know that's really hard because we all have really high expectations.
Yes.
But just try in some ways, and maybe that's a gift of liturgy and spirituality, to just maybe this week I just open this little finger and then next week I open the next little one and little by little to open our hands and to de-stress and to relax. And things are not going to be perfect. But if we can just let that be, I know that we are already loved and that God is with us no matter what, then we can find new ways to just enjoy one another. Because that little girl who wanted to play with her mom, it's still in there and still wants to come out and play. So, yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, Santi. This is Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Hi. When I listened, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the end of your sermon this morning, but I was extremely taken by it. And then my phone sort of did its thing. The thing that really occurred to me was curiosity about your background, because you seem so articulate and knowledgeable and able to present things. So I am curious, but I have an issue with the Trinity. To me, the notion of having God in three parts is just not difficult at all. It just feels right to me. But I am having a lot of trouble with the masculine identity of Father and Son. I mean, it's gotten to be an obstacle for me. It's making it really hard for me to connect. So in a lot of ways, I connect with the Holy Spirit more than the other two parts of the Trinity. But I'm curious as to what your thoughts might be on this. So yeah. Thanks.
No, that's really helpful. And then you might already have a lot of books that deal with this, but I also have some recommendations I'd be happy to give you in terms of gender. If you want to send me an email, santi.r@sandaves.org, I can send you some recommendations. But what I think for me that is really helpful is first to understand that God is both Father and Mother, that the Son goes beyond the incarnation, which is the moment in which Jesus, the historical Jesus, was incarnated as a man, and that there is a reality of the Word of God that goes beyond gender. And that thirdly, the Spirit is always given to us in the feminine. Both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, we come to see how the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God who spoken, that lives, breathes, and gives life more in the female pronoun. And then God goes beyond genders because God is also they in Genesis, and is this understanding that goes beyond gender. So in relationship, God is much more complicated and also more beautiful than we make him to be. But sometimes we get lost both in the grammar of things to try to keep it simple. And also, let's be honest that a lot of the theology that was written down by men. And so it was very easy to them simply to give them, give the Trinity male pronouns. But the reality of God, that is lover, beloved, and the Spirit, the love they share, goes beyond those genders. So if you want to send me an email, I'd be happy to send you a couple of recommendations.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more question.
I always have to speak up. To me, it's more of a language thing and a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just fine to scoot all that aside and go, like you said, it was culture. There were men that wrote it. And in scripture, Yahweh has no, you cannot say his name. You don't know whether he's male or female. To me, it's we are male and female mostly now. We know we're all kinds of different things. But I just think God is not limited to that. Mm-hmm. God is much more expansive. And so I remember one time, I have two brothers that are priests. And one time I was at home alone and I was going to dedicate my life to God. And I knelt before the cross, but all I could see was my brother. I had to just shove him out of the way before I thought, that's not Jesus, that's your brother. So I think we have to, we limit ourselves. And it's taken me, 70 years, whatever, to figure out that's not important. That's not, whoever I am comfortable with God, we just need to get to where we can play with him and be creative and be blessed by him. So Paula, I would say shove that away. Sorry.
No, that's really helpful. That's really helpful. And also beyond the fact of how we understand the language, also understand that all theology has pastoral consequences, right? So for everyone, if we haven't had a good relationship with our father growing up, and we're always talking about as God as father, like what does that mean in terms of how we relate to God and how we come to God for healing and in a trusting way that we can find ourselves seen and heard and loved. And so language helps, but as you know, language always complicates. And so to see the beauty and the gift that language can give us, and also to understand that it's much more complicated and beautiful, and therefore be able to find how the gift of contemplation can help us to purify our understanding of who God is. So thank you. And thank you all for coming. It was a delight to be with all of you. And I appreciate, Mona, the invitation to be with all of you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Santi.
Thank you for being with us. This is very helpful.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.